This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Dave Brown, and this is a podcast version of AMI's Morning Show, now with Dave Brown. Catch the live broadcasts weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern on AMI Audio and AMI TV. Welcome back. It's Now with Dave Brown on AMI Audio and AMI TV. Let's head down the 401, not all the way to Quebec, but fairly close to Morrisburg, Ontario, for the Central Regional Report. And we're joined by AMI Content Development Specialist Karen McGee. Hey, good morning, Karen.
Good morning. Yeah, in like 20 minutes, I could be celebrating St. Jean Baptiste Day.
I mean, you could do it. You could do it in Morrisburg. You don't need to be in Quebec to celebrate St. Jean.
You know what? You're right. Damn it.
And you live near the river, so you could just shoot off fireworks into the river. I'm sure the Americans would not be concerned about that at all.
Yeah, and my neighbors wouldn't be concerned about it either.
Oh, nor would the dogs or the cats.
Nor would the dogs. Yes, we have a lot of dogs in our street.
And so there you go. No fireworks today for Karen McGee. Karen, let's jump right into things. Let's head over to Sudbury, Ontario. Just last week, I was talking about a small pop-up library in British Columbia that was going to be putting an extra emphasis on diverse voices. And there's a little library in Sudbury that's doing the same thing. So we need to start with some basics here, though, Karen. What is a little library?
So I think this is a brilliant idea. I have spent a lot of time in libraries. It's actually my first job ever was working in a library. So I love the idea of books. Like you can never have enough books. So a little free library is a free book sharing box where anyone can take a book to share. So basically they function on the honor system. So you're walking by, and I want to say they're built like extra large birdhouses, and people can like take a book and then you just return one to return it when you're done with it. Or if you've got some you're done with and you want to sort of put them in and let other people have them, put them in. So it's like you swap them out. You don't actually need to take a book to have a book to put in order to take one. So like just try to share a little bit, and you can find these in a lot of places. They're popping up everywhere. Our local gas station / corner store, or keeping in the Quebec thing, in Williamsburg, just up the road, has one. And now there's a new one in Sudbury. So Sudbury's not just home to Letterkenny anymore.
Yeah, there you go. The great expansion of the big nickel, Sudbury, moving up in the world. So Karen, what makes this particular little library so unique?
So this little library is going to feature books that have been curated by Taryn Green. Taryn has cerebral palsy, and the works in the library are going to focus on experiences of authors who are part of the LGBTQ or BIPOC and disability communities. And according to CBC Sudbury, Taryn spoke with them about this. She'd want to do a library that basically focuses on children's books. That was sort of her idea when she first started thinking about doing a little library. But what changed over the last year, as she started to research about disability more and decided to learn more about it, she decided to fill it with books that she would want to read. And she decided to actually add books that are now for the LGBTQ BIPOC communities. The little library is now open for business on Boland Avenue in the south side of Sudbury. And it's really a great idea. And you see them popping up in communities all over Canada. There's a website, Little Libraries, where you can actually type in your city and see if there's any near you.
Yeah, there's lots of diverse voices to share. And when these little libraries and other smaller community libraries put that emphasis on it, it's a really positive development. So really cool to see that popping up in Sudbury, British Columbia.
I'm always curious to see what my neighbors are going to put in, what books my neighborhood's reading, which sounds really creepy, but it's kind of interesting.
No, it really speaks to what resonates with people, right? What people around you are engaging with and what's framing them. Because let's be honest, what we read really does frame us. What we watch, what we read, what we listen to, a lot of the ethos will trickle down into our mind. So it's interesting to see what perspectives people are bringing in and what they're taking in and what they feel they want to share.
Yeah, I love it.
Karen, let's jump over to something a little closer to home. Ottawa will be losing one of their inclusive dance companies. The Dandelion Dance Company has announced they're going to be closing. So let's jump back in time here. What made Dandelion Dance so unique?
So I feel like I've talked about them before, or that we've done stories on them before, the Dandelion Dance Company. They're a not-for-profit dance company in Ottawa, and they really had a great mission. They brought girls of all backgrounds and abilities together, basically unique experiences about sharing a common theme about being female and about basically building your creativity and building your confidence. And it really allowed girls to have a voice, develop empathy, break stereotypes, and basically practice good leadership. They are a fully inclusive dance studio. They welcome girls of all income levels, religions, cultures, body types, abilities, members of the LGBTQ community, and all experience levels. And they offered classes and performances at wheelchair accessible venues to make, and they also did things, I love this one, they accommodated requests related to religious and cultural practice, such as prayer times and modest clothing for dance for classes and public performances. And they really talked the walk the walk, or should I say dance the dance, when it came to making dance accessible. And I read nothing but positive things about them. And again, it's just sad when you see things like this close.
Yeah. So what were the factors that led to the closure of their doors?
So according to an article from the CBC, they have been able to find, I'm going to use air quotes here, financial stability. They were not-for-profit, and although they tried to secure stable funding outside of annual grants and fundraising activities, they really didn't get any consistent, dependable support. Executive Director Monica Cohan called the decision heartbreaking and is hoping to start up a project really soon. And I like what she said. We're really hoping it's going to be a see you real soon. So this isn't a goodbye. Hopefully that they'll come up with something else that just that benefits young women and people from the Ottawa community to be able to express themselves through dance and make it accessible for everybody.
Yeah, it's something you hear a lot with many different not-for-profits or charities saying, can we just find a bit of sustainable funding as opposed to trying to hodgepodge together every week? And that means when they get that sustainable funding, it means they can really focus on their programming and expanding it to more and more people as opposed to worrying about just keeping the lights on. So definitely we wish them the best of luck as they're trying to figure those next steps out. Karen, you've already gotten engaged with us on our daily poll of the day about what's the best summertime drink. Your vote was sangria, but I need to unpack this a little bit. White wine or red wine?
Well, red wine, and there's a little story behind this. Mexicali Roses just opened up a new restaurant in Cornwall up the road. Everything's up the road from Morseburg. Up the road. So we had dinner from there a few nights ago, and people who don't know Mexicali Roses, used to be in Ottawa, started in Ottawa, was an Ottawa institution for years. And they have, in my opinion, the second best sangria in the world. The first best is in the Mexican Pavilion in Epcot. And they had it to go. I actually asked, kind of checking me, going, I don't suppose you give sangria to go. And they gave it to me in like a, I got like a liter of it. And I've been having like half a cup every night. It's
oh, yeah.
Wonderful.
What are your fruits of choice in your sangria? Because there are different philosophies. Some folks like something a little more citrusy. Some folks prefer the berries.
So when I used to make it from scratch, and I will do it, like make my own simple syrup and stuff like this. By the way, don't use your boyfriend's parents' best wine to make sangria.
No.
Get you in a little bit of trouble.
No, that will get you in some trouble.
It was really good, though. I do the orange, lemon, and lime syrup. And then I always like with cherries. Who doesn't like cherries in their alcohol if you can? If you're having a fruity drink, no matter what, you need cherries, right?
See, I like this. The food and drink column with Jenny Bovard has really extended into the second hour of the show as we've moved forward here.
I don't have the fun shirt, though.
That's true. Only Jenny and I can wear the Hawaiian shirts. So, you know, we have a very exclusive club in the Hawaiian shirt town on this show. Karen, you sent an email to myself and Jeff Ryman after our sports chat today with an unverified stat, but I think we should enter the world of reckless speculation and share this reckless stat.
Okay, so I saw this on Twitter, and I haven't had time to fact check it, and I've been meaning to fact check it, but it's one of those things that's going to take like a bit of a deep dive to fact check. And apparently, and again, unverified, when Montreal and Toronto have met in the playoffs, historically, whatever team comes out of that round, Montreal or Toronto, they go on to win the cup. And I don't want to jinx it, but I thought that was very interesting. And I saw that when the series in Montreal and Toronto started to play. And I didn't think Montreal was going to come out of it, so I didn't really fact check it too hard.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, dang it, I should have really put more work into that. But it's going to take a bit to fact check that one. So.
Well, it's going to take some cross-referencing. What I will say is this. The last time they met, there were 12 teams in the league. And the majority of the times that Toronto met Montreal in the playoffs, there were 6 teams in the league. So it does stand to reason if they met in the playoffs, they did not have to jump over too many hurdles to win the Stanley Cup.
Well, there's that too. So again, how reliable is that fact if you're going from a tiny base of numbers to get the information, right? So a lot of facts.
Sample size.
I take that very seriously.
Sample size, margin of error, you know, all these words the nerds use. All we know is it's going to be exciting nights for Montreal Canadiens fans in Montreal, or it's going to be extremely disappointing. And then that disappointment will stretch into Saturday, and then this will all be a moot point, and whatever validity and veracity there was to that stat will be out the window forever. More. Karen, always fun catching up. Thank you, and we'll talk to you again next week.
See you on Tuesday, Dave.
You've been listening to Now with Dave Brown. Hit the subscribe button on any podcast platform and leave us a rating and a review.